Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Labor Department today says that cheaper energy kept U.S. consumer prices in check last month, despite a big rise in the cost of food. The consumer price index rose 0.1% in February, matching January's increase. In the past 12 months, prices have risen 1.1%. Energy prices fell 0.5% because gas and electricity costs fell. Consumers took a hit at the grocery store, however, as food costs rose 0.4%, the most in nearly 2 years. New U.S. Ambassador to China Max Baucus says he'll push for fair trade and urge Beijing to respect international human rights norms. Baucus says he wants to promote trade, quote, in a way that is mutually beneficial and ensures a level playing field for American businesses. Complaints over barriers to competition underpin criticism of America's mass trade deficit with China, which last year reached a record $318.4 billion. Russia has signed a treaty to incorporate Crimea into its territory following a referendum in which residents of Ukraine's region overwhelmingly backed the move. President Vladimir Putin signed the document today with Crimea's prime minister and parliament speaker following a televised address to the nation. The agreement has to be endorsed by Russia's constitutional court and ratified by both houses of parliament to take effect. Those steps are considered formalities, which could occur this week. House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Colin Peterson today says that he will seek a 13th term in Congress to help ensure the Farm Bill is implemented and resolve conflicts between EPA and farmers. Peterson, who is 69, said he believes there is a lot of work to do, not just on implementation of the Farm Bill, but also on flood retention, highway construction, and farmers' relationship with the EPA. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading at 16,289. It's up 42 points. The NASDAQ is trading at 4,299. It's up 19 points. The S&P 500 trading 1865, up 6.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest will encounter three waves of cooling over the next 10 days. Unfortunately, that means that our spring warm-up will be cut short here for a little while and will fall back again with some cooler soil temperatures, likely as time moves forward. The forecast here today actually focuses the first wave of cooling on the northern plains. Most of the Midwest proper is not going to be seriously impacted by this first round of cooler air, but the northern plains and the upper Midwest will, and these areas are probably going to see the temperatures fall off, maybe not dramatically, but at least enough to generate some snow. And today we're going to see some significant snowfall across portions of the northern U.S. plains and the upper Midwest. From Nebraska into Minnesota, we'll see some 4 to 8 inch accumulations, and there will be potential in west central Minnesota to possibly get more than a foot of snow. The precipitation in west central Minnesota is going to end up being mostly stationary for several hours today, and that's one of the reasons for the heavier snowfall, but it'll only impact a handful of counties in that area. The storm system will wind down fairly quickly, and it will move across the Great Lakes region as we go into the day tomorrow. We'll expect to see some cooling occur across the Midwest, but only minor amounts of cooling are expected at this point. The afternoon temperatures today across most of the Midwest are going to still be in a pleasant range. We'll look for the afternoon highs running mostly in the 30s and 40s across the north, and we'll look for some 50s and perhaps a few lower 60s in the south. Those lower 60s will be mostly confined to Kansas and Missouri. As we move on out into the day on Wednesday, we will expect to see 30s and 40s still occurring in the north, but the south will cool down 40s with mostly some lower 50s in the southernmost parts of the region. No more 60 degree readings likely for a while. And as we go on out into the latter part of this week, our second wave of cool air will start to push through the north-central parts of the U.S. The northern plains will encounter some new snow. This will occur mostly on Thursday. going into Friday, perhaps, but we'll end up seeing snow accumulations running anywhere from 1 to 4 inches across a part of the northern plains. That particular storm system will come into the upper parts of the Midwest, perhaps as quickly as Friday, maybe late Thursday night, early Friday morning. It'll be a wintry mix initially and then change over to snow. There'll be a band of showers and some thunderstorms that may occur across the lower eastern Midwest as we go through the day on Friday into Saturday morning, but none of the rain is going to be heavy, and most of the snowfall will stay confined to the uppermost parts of the Midwest again. The cold high-pressure system that comes behind this second wave of precipitation will be a little bit more potent, and as we get into the weekend, temperatures will be quite a bit cooler than average across a big part of the Midwest. Our third wave of cold will likely come in during the early part of next week. As it comes along, it will likely drop temperatures again across the Canadian prairies initially, and then do the same thing for the northern plains and the upper Midwest. All this will occur on probably Monday, Sunday night or Monday, and then the cold will drop into the eastern part of the U.S. The most important part of this third wave of cold, besides the fact that temperatures will be low enough to drop soil temperatures, is that it will probably put a surface high pressure center over the southeastern part of the U.S., and that will start pumping moisture out of the Gulf of Mexico into the southern U.S. plains, setting the stage for some rain in hard red winter wheat country as we finish out the month. We'll continue to monitor that rather closely. It would certainly be a significant event. In the meantime, our temperatures across the Midwest will turn a bit colder. This weekend we'll look for teens and 20s in the northern parts of the region, 30s and 40s in the south, and even cooler perhaps during the early part of next week. Lowest temperatures across the Midwest over these next few days are going to start off in the teens and 20s across the northern areas and 20s and 30s in the south. I don't think we'll see too much in the way of additional cooling, though, until late in the weekend, when some single digits and teens will impact the northern parts of the Midwest and teens and 20s will occur in the south. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for Agricultural Weather comes from Busey. Busey and its associates remain committed to lending a helping hand, with contributions of more than $1 million and countless volunteer hours each year to better the communities where we live and work. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 751 up 7.5. July, 744 up 5.5. Soft May wheat, 682 up 7.5. July, 685.25 up 7. May corn, 481.5 up 2.5. July, 486.25 up 2.25. December, 483.75 up 1.75. May soybeans, 1406.5 up 14.75. July, 1387.75 up 12.5. November, 1177 up 1.25. May soybean meal, 453.70 up 7.10. May soybean oil, 41.87 down 2 cents. April live cattle, 145.45 up 42.5. March feeders, 174.22.5 down 52.5. April lean hogs, 123.15. And they are up 145. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, after the drop in soybean prices last week, it looks like we have found some short-term stabilization and maybe even a little bit more of a rally back up.
Yeah, we're looking at that today. Old crop especially up, been up 10 to 16. Right now, maize are up 14 and 14.05 and 3/4. They hit 9 and 3/4, so they were up 18. New crop, not as crazy. It's only up 1/4 at 11.76. It's been up 3 to down about 6. Corn's up 1 to 2, being drugged by the beans. People are looking at the old crop, at our tight supply, and at our continued selling to China, and thinking, man, we're going to be very tight. It's actually profitable now to for people that need beans to export them into the U.S., import them from South America.
Do you think that this is the kind of market we'll see between now and the end of the month when we get the hogs and pigs report, and also the planting intentions and quarterly grain stocks reports?
Yeah, I think we're going to be sideways, some days up, some days down, but tight old crop supply of beans is thought that it'll be bullish beans. New crop, I think they think it'll be, the report will be neutral, and they're pretty much thinking it'll be neutral on corn. wheat depends on the Russian-Ukraine thing. We pushed it up a bunch and drug everything with when they were having problems. Now that that's pretty much over, it sounds like we could easily back off on the wheat, and that might hurt the corn a little bit. Any incident internationally could drive it up again. But report is expected to be, as I said, bullish old crop beans, and then pretty much neutral everything else.
So a trading range of what, $4.75, $5 new crop corn, maybe $11.60 to around $12 new crop beans?
New crop beans haven't done as much, but that $11.80 to $11.90 has been kind of the barrier at the top end. And corn, I don't know if we can get back to $5. The big thing, I think, also in the report will be acres, and we've got all kind of plant acres that we didn't plant last year, plus stuff coming out that they aren't paying well for the government in their conservation program. And so there's a lot of people thinking we'll have more acres of corn and more acres of beans, and that could easily be negative for new crop.
Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.